I don't know. It's been going on for a month or so. I try to create something I had prepared, and it'd be the easiest thing to do, but I can't. I don't. Brain keeps going on. All the stuff that's going on around us. I was up this morning. Usually, especially when we have a fellowship morning, I get up real early. And then I get my stuff done, and I'll come down here and maybe take a little nap even before. Not today. My brain was... I was down here writing, down here putting stuff together, and I had kind of little pieces, bits and pieces all week long. And it may sound like that when we get here. It'll be probably disjointed, but my stuff always is. It'll probably be repetitive of some things I've said previous in the last few weeks. Maybe what we said in fellowship too. What I said when we were getting ready for the services. But I think these things are needful. It's important to address, to bring Scripture to bear on what's going on in the world. To bring Scripture to bear on what's going on in our lives. Some people hold, and I used to kind of hold to the view, you know, that all preaching had to be expository preaching, and you go through chapters. But no, it doesn't. You know, the apostles spoke to the issues and with Scripture.
Yes.
And that's the point. And so I think this is needful. And it's needful for me if it's not needful for anybody else. It's needful for me. And if people have a problem with any of that stuff, like I said, there's a lot of places you can go and get a lot of non-offensive religious pablum. You can go almost any place that's open today. And you can sit down and receive that. And then if that's what you seek, and if that's what you think you ought to have, you can find it. But I don't think that's what I've been called to. And I suspect that's not what you've been called to. Well, this week, amongst other things, Old White Joe, Emperor Biden, declared war on the unvaccinated. And as I said, largely those are committed Christians. I'm not saying if somebody got vaccinated, they're not a Christian. But they should be. I'd be troubled. Not just physically, but spiritually as well. But physically, certainly. And I want to set this and some other things in context. And I might hit some little things that passed through my brain today, this week, and not go real detail in any of them. And a lot of these we have looked at detail in the past. Romans 13:1, sometimes folks use for being subservient to a tyrannical empire, says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." For there is no power but of God. The powers that be ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. This place we call the United States is still supposedly ruled by the Constitution. I've got my own issues with the Constitution. I think we could have done better by staying with the Articles. But regardless, that is the agreement that we supposedly operate under. That is the agreement that I took an oath to as a Marine Corps officer, and you all took oaths to as soldiers and sailors, and what presidents take oaths to. And in the context of the United States, the higher powers, the rulers, are the Constitution. This verse wouldn't be speaking to those who stand opposed to those who violate the higher powers, like the whole mass up there in Washington and most of them out in Tallahassee and there and about. They're the ones that are resisting the higher power, which is the Constitution, which is what we have all agreed, what was agreed we would operate under. Those folks are the violators of the Constitution, the violators of Romans 13. I saw where old White Joe this week said, next time somebody tells me I'm not religious, I'm going to cram my rosary down their throat. Okay, Joe. That sounded like Joe, didn't it? And it was. That's what he said. Most of them that tell him he's not religious serve the same religion that he's of. The U.S. government is increasingly, and has been for some time, is anti-God. It's anti-scriptural. It's anti-liberty. It's anti-constitution, which they pretend to be operating under. It certainly doesn't intend good for the people of God. And so, to set that in context, to understand folks that want to throw, oh, well, Romans 13, you got to do whatever they tell you to. You go get your jab, you go do this, you go do that. Okay, another thought to share this week, and I've been talking about this. We talked about it before service started. But I think it's important to set this forth. Doctors, those we call physicians, they are, in this day and age, they're almost exclusively the local representatives of Big Pharma. That's all they are. That's all they've been trained to do. That's all that their what do you call them? Protocols tell them to do. And it's give this drug for this, this drug for this, this drug for that. They're glorified triage nurses, I used to say, but that's an insult to the triage nurses that sometimes do needful work. And we've talked before, I shared this with a brother this week when we were going back and forth about some things and about how Big Pharma and pushing this stuff. And I said, you know, pharmakia, in the scriptures, sorcery and witchcraft. That's where that word is, pharmakia. Translated in our Bibles is either witchcraft or sorceries. Pharmakia. We get our word pharmacy from it. It was all tied in, all these dark arts. On that note, I'm a brother. Never been to service with him. I've known him for a little while. We met him from another friend, and he came out to a Free Florida First meeting before, and I keep in correspondence with him just about every week. But he shared some verses this week. And I thought, yeah, he brings scripture to bear on some things that maybe we should think about. Maybe it would have some application to us. In 2 Chronicles 16, talks about King Asa. 2 Chronicles 16 and beginning with verse 12. And Asa was 30th and ninth year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet, in his disease, he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. And they buried him in his own sepulchres. I'm not saying that all doctors are wicked. Suppose Dr. Luke was a doctor or medical doctor at that time, they used to try to do good and right. But I'm saying this, our trust better not be in the physicians, better not be in the doctors. Asa was really sick. And God sometimes will use doctors in healing his people. But you better turn and trust to him first. Mm-hmm. These folks that are so caught up in what comes from these proven liars and yet trusted in that. There's nothing wrong with physicians in their place, but we ought to exert great care, right? Particularly in this day and age. I trust God. I try not to fear anything. Amen. But I sometimes get a little bit scared of doctors. Amen. You know, mm-hmm. going to the hospital and stuff like that. Yeah. Not in the old-fashioned sense, but I don't trust them. Yeah. I just don't trust them. I know I shouldn't be saying this stuff, but there you go. The time has come to stand. More than one, folks, have said, Biden declared war. One fellow I read after the Eric Peters, I think he used that exact terminology. Time has come to stand. Came across some words this week from a young lady who sometimes hear her videos with our Free Florida First folks, and she's a good Christian woman, and she's a submissive woman, but she's not bashful to shame some men when they need it. And I hope it's not any of us. I don't know her real name. Maybe if I pursued it hard enough, I could find it. I don't know. She doesn't. She goes by Patriot Nurse. And in this day and age, if she wants to keep being a nurse, she better just keep it like that, right? But she wrote this week. She says, if you think, and I've thought about this many times, she says, if you think the men who took up arms to fight in 1776 didn't have families to feed, you're wrong. Don't hide behind your family and use them to justify cowardice. Children need principles more than stuff. They need examples more than the newest toy. Women need men they respect as husbands. Family is why you lead, not why you follow. Some piercing words. And again, you think about the men. I mean, they went to the field in 1776, the farmers, merchants, whatever. That was the only way they took care of their family. They didn't have unemployment or anything else. But they took a stand. Some idiot replied to her, and I'm sure later on he regretted it, but you know, these spiritual folks, most of them don't believe the Bible, but they'll use the Bible if it benefits them. And I don't know exactly, I couldn't find out his exact post, but this person twisted the words of Paul to young Timothy in some way. In 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any man provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. We've talked about that verse many times. How we're to protect our family. We're to take care of our family. This idiot that wrote to her evidently argued that, see, 1 Timothy 5:8 means you're supposed to take the jab so that you can keep your job and so that you can keep making money, and so that you can keep feeding your family. Well, that's it. I never got that from 1 Timothy 5:8. And she wrote back, that verse is referencing the very situation we're in. But the context is believers' charity and mutual support. If a man is lazy, not principled, he is worse than an unbeliever. Lazy is not the same as morally grounded. By your line of logic, a man who walked off the job as an SS officer and thereby jeopardized his family's comfort was in error. Also, by your line of logic, all Christian participation in Nazism, Stalinism, and every totalitarian regime is defensible under the moniker of, quote, providing for the family. It is precisely because I prize Scripture that I take the stand I do. You better be glad people who came before you were willing to jeopardize their family's security and take definitive political stands. You hold that precious Bible in your hands due to their willingness to be burned at the stake, have their families starved and tortured, when living Scripture became political. Wake up, you see. As someone recently said to us, well, but when they come, I don't think it'd probably come down exactly that way, but it's like, well, you take the mark or else we're going to kill your children before your eyes. And it's, they're going to kill them anyway. They're going to kill me anyway. See, that's hard. Yeah, but God's grace is sufficient when the time comes. Do right. You don't deny your God. You don't deny the Scripture. You don't deny your duty. We need to stand. Folks, you know what? Sometimes you get kind of bummed out like that. And it's like, oh, man. You know what? Well, boo-hoo for you. The Lord told us that these times would come. In fact, that's why we're here. And so, yeah, I sometimes get bummed out. I just kind of get overwhelmed almost. It's like the insanity, you know? But he's in charge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, boo-hoo for me. By his grace, we carry on. The Lord said in John 15, verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Of course they behave that way. Of course they do. They don't know him who sent the Lord. What's the surprise? Over in Revelation 13. I think we're about living those days. I shared in our fellowship, but I don't think I said it before. It's one of the fellows I'm discussing things with this week. What did he say? He didn't want to get into a spitting contest with me or any other kind of bodily fluids. I don't know what he was talking about. But anyway, but he did. And he acknowledged this stuff that's going on is probably leading up to the mark of the beast, if it's not the mark of the beast, but it's leading up to it. And he agreed to that, and yet he was still embracing all this. Get your jab. I don't understand that. Anyway, Revelation 13 says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Wow. Antichrist is given power to make war with the saints, to overcome them. The whole world's going to worship him. That worship doesn't always take the context of sitting in church and like it's acknowledging him as sovereign and Lord and subservient. Except those whose name has been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. This fellow had shared with me. He said, I think it's leading to that. But and the folks who are like left here are going to have to deal with that. I said, you better consider that the saints might be left here up until the very end. I think up to almost the conclusion of what's commonly called the tribulation. I hope I'm wrong, but I think we're going to see the Antichrist. And we're going to endure many of those things of his wrath. But God will not pour out his wrath on his people. He'll take them out of the way before his wrath comes. But I think if you look at the scriptures close, that's not till close to the very end. Anyway. Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God.
Amen.
That's what our Baptist forefathers believe. I've told you all before, we've looked at that story of the mammoth cheese that John Leyland made, and it's 1,200, I think, and 75 pounds. They made a mammoth cheese, the Baptists, and they brought it to Thomas Jefferson, and they had engraved upon it, resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. Sometimes it goes rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. And sometimes you look around that phrase and they'll say it was Thomas Jefferson, it was Benjamin Franklin, it was John Knox, it was, I even saw recently, I was looking around today, I hadn't seen it before, attributed to Susan B. Anthony. I don't know who first expressed it, but our Baptist forefathers expressed it loud and long during the American War for Independence. And I mentioned all those other people. Baptists were around a long time before any of them. So, I don't know. The point is that it's a truth. Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. We live in a time when character is being revealed.
That's right.
You see, you may not have known that person very well. You didn't know if you could trust them or not, where they're coming from. People are having to make decisions. They're having to take stands. Character is being revealed. We've come to what is a watershed. You know, it's like the point of the roof. It goes one way or the other way. It doesn't just land there and stay. It goes one way or the other. And character is being revealed. This is a time in which, in some sense, the wheat is being separated from the chaff. You can look around and you see that true character is being revealed. Maybe to yourself, too. So maybe that's time to step back sometimes and say, wait a minute, These are times that are dividing friends and family. I don't know. I can't say, well, no, shouldn't be doing. Sometimes I think we need to be doing that. I have a friend on the Facebook that I communicate with quite a bit. She recently said she's been disowned by all her children because she didn't get the jab. You know, she can't go to their houses. She can't see her grandkids. And they're just picking up the refrain of old white joke. Many doctors and scientists that are taking a stand have lost their jobs. And I saw recently that, and I don't know all the details of it, but someone mentioned that he knew Judy Mikovits personally. And her family has disowned her. And even someone of the more liberal strand, like RFK Jr., he's taken a stand for many years against the medical insanity that's going on, and his family's about disowned him. There's a price to pay. Sometimes. I'm thankful. Most of my kids and my grandkids, not all of them, most of my kids all, my grandkids I'm not sure about all of them, but they're pretty much stand where we do. And, you know, that's a blessing. We've got other portions of our family that we've been disowned by because of this or some other things, but we might be better off with it that way. Diane's waving bye-bye in the back there. But, it's a watershed. It's division. Character's being revealed. You know who you can trust and who you don't want to trust. You don't want to be real close to someone you can't trust. That's not the guy I want to be in the foxhole with.
That's right.
Another old friend put up a question, said, well, do you really totally trust anyone? A lot of people answered, no. And I said, a very, very few, beginning with my wife. But there are a few. I mean, none of us are perfect, but there's folks I think I can totally trust in. You know, we can't fix these folks. I wax eloquent at the range and people kind of turn me off, but that's okay. Get up on my soapbox. Maybe the same thing happens here. I don't know. And I realize in the strictest sense this isn't all a spiritual matter. But then I think, you know, it's not a spiritual matter because we don't fully comprehend. For the child, you know, everything's a spiritual matter. Really? But you, me, I can't awaken those folks. I can't make them see the truth. Many of them, and I've experienced this, they've made what I would consider to be bad, stupid, dumb. Not that I've never made decisions like that. But they've made bad, stupid, dumb, bad decisions about this thing, and they're committed. They're infested. They don't want to hear anything else. Mm-hmm. Nothing contrary to... I remember when the Lord was opening my eyes about some things, and I'd be in the church, and things weren't right, and I would talk to people about it, and want to, you know, discuss things, and some people would be like, you know, I don't want to hear about that. Fine. So, what I say... can't bring anybody around. I realize that. I'm an old school Baptist. Hard shell, some people would call me. But I still have a duty. I have a duty to speak the truth. I have a duty to obey and to trust God. with the outcomes, with other people. The Lord said in John 10, verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not. I mean, you can see it. It's kind of like with the case the Lord was talking about. What if someone raised up from the dead? And who was that? Lazarus. So, well, what if someone raised up from the dead? Send Lazarus back to talk to my people. And if someone raised up from the dead, they'd believe him. The Lord said, you know what? If they won't believe the prophets, they won't believe someone rose up from the dead. And of course, the Lord eventually did that, and they still didn't believe him. The Lord said, but Jesus answered, said, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you believe not. Because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Does that mean every time I get up on my soapbox and those don't follow me, don't acknowledge and come around? No, it doesn't. Because I think about that one fellow I knew wasn't a sheep, old Saul of Tarsus. He was one of the Lord's elect. You know? It'll be manifested in the Lord's time and not mine. I do believe, however, I'm going to finish this, and we'll take a little bit longer, maybe a little bit longer today, but whatever. There is pure, you should believe this, there is pure evil taking place today in high places. Not accidents, not mistakes, not missing. There is pure evil taking place in high places. Those folks, I don't have contact with most of them, they're not going to come around. Those folks are of their father. His name's the devil. The Lord said in John 8, verse 42 and following, Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and come from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word.
Right.
Ye are of your father the devil. That don't sound very Christ-like, does it? Oh, yes, yeah, Christ speaking. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer. Wow. What's going on today? He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Just because he told them the truth. We're beginning to see, I believe, who folks really trust and who folks really serve. They're revealing that in the crucible of our day and age. And some other folks have said this about this and other things. But listen, when folks reveal that to you, you better believe them. You better believe them. Because the next thing might be a knife in your back. You say, well, no, he's not really. Yeah, he is probably. Yeah, better believe him. The Lord said he came to the world to bring separation and sword. And you better believe him. Matthew 10, verse 33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I come to set at variance a man against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. It's heartbreaking in this day and age, I understand. But you better believe the Lord. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. See, brother, what's coming? It's getting hard-pressed. You say, well, you won't be able to work anymore. You won't be able to shop anymore. You won't be able to do a... And then folks come back and say, well, but you got to eat. Yeah, well, no, you don't. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. I'm not talking about something you wear around your neck. You know what? When somebody picked up a cross in the Roman world, you know what that meant? They're going to be dead. They're going to die. Lord said, if you're not willing to take up your cross, if you're not willing to die, if you're not willing to lay down your life, he that taketh not up his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. I mean, you say, yeah, but these people, I mean, I don't relish the thought. Some people may think I do because I talk about it maybe too much, but they're going to come kill me. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. Maybe it won't happen though, but I think they're going to come kill me. You know, I'm kind of resigned to that. I don't even know if the word's resigned. By his grace, you know, I'm at peace with that, if that's what he intends and what comes. He that taketh not his cross and followeth not after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. In this day and age, I read these things, they mean more to me now than they ever did. You know? We're being shown and we're being separated from cowards and traitors. Some brethren, it hurts me, but am I just supposed to keep silent and let them keep talking? I have to say something, and then they don't like me anymore. Revelation 13:16, a verse we've looked at a couple times in the last few weeks. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Brother, I talked about receiving the mark of the vaccination. He understood what I was talking about. He agreed, like I said, he agreed with me that it was preparing folks for that. He didn't think it was actually the mark of the beast yet, but it was preparing folks who are going to be still here. Well, okay. You might still be here. And I might still be here. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, and the name of the beast, and the number of his name. You know, it's all happening except for the details that we haven't really sorted out yet, hasn't it? Here is wisdom. Let him that understandeth count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, the number of the beast. We talked about the scripture beasts throughout scripture, often represented governments, empires. So we ask ourselves, and we're facing this increasingly more every day. Say, well, I won't have to make that decision. Yeah, I kind of think you will. Whom will you elect? Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So it all sounds kind of like, maybe in some perspectives, so that's kind of a bummer. No. Our sovereign Lord reigns. He is working his perfect will. We don't understand it all. We don't have to. That's not our job. Very familiar passage. I'm getting close to the end, but Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Well, yeah, it's like what little bit of hair I got left. She'll be pulling out. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Wow. I'm glad for that. He makes intercession for me according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We know that. Because he's sovereign. And because he loves us. I often say, you really don't have to know much more. You know that he's sovereign and that he loves me. I mean, what else do I need to know? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. And whom he called, then he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to all these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Right.
And so, we can rest in that. And the last thought I finish on, a fellow we talked to yesterday in the parking lot we'd met before that's much ways like we are. His young son was there. You know, we're concerned with our kids and our grandkids. It may not be easy, but we should realize that our children, our grandchildren, they have been called to the kingdom for a time such as this. They have been called to do their duty just like we've been called to do ours. And as long as we're drawing breath, I speak like I'm already gone sometimes and I'm ready to go. But the Lord hadn't seen fit to do that yet. The great example of Queen Esther. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. You know, after the kingdom had decided they were going to slay the Jews, give the people an opportunity to do that. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. The king didn't even know that Esther was a Jew. But he had given a decree that on such and such a day they were going to be able to slaughter all the Jews. Mordecai writes to his young, I don't think she was actually a niece, but we call him uncle. But anyway, his young charge, He says, think not to thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. God's going to accomplish his will. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? I think we're all at the kingdom for a time like this. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Our life is in the hand of God. We're called to the kingdom for a time like this. If I perish, I perish. But we've been called to the kingdom for a time such like this. We don't necessarily have to like it or relish it. As one of my friends always is texting me through the week and whatever he talks about. It drives me crazy. You know? I understand that. Okay. Those are the disjointed thoughts that passed through my brain this week. And with a little bit of help from some friends in Washington, D.C. and else places, I have to say, they were, what do you call that thing, a chemical reaction, and you put that thing to help makes it happen?
A catalyst.
Yes. They were catalysts. So, I guess, thank the Lord for that, right? And we can thank him for all things. Okay. We'll take our hymnals this morning. Turn to page number 371. Stand as we sing this closing hymn, Through the Love of God Our Savior, number 371. Through the love of God our Savior, all will be well. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for our Savior. Lord, we thank you that you are a sovereign God, that you are, and that we can sing and rest in knowing that all will be well. That you work all things together for the good of your people. And Lord, as we live in what we would count to be troubled times, to realize that you've called us to the kingdom for a time such as this. Lord, give us grace to stand. Give us grace to manifest whose we are. And whom we serve. Lord, thank you for each one that's here. Pray your hand upon them. Pray you watch over them as they make their way home. Pray you use each of us this week to your glory. Oh, if it be your will, may we be an encouragement and a help to others. May you work through us to bring your people to yourself. We thank you for our Savior, and we pray in his name. Amen.
Amen.